WDAE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. By a nearly unanimous decision, the Supreme Court's narrowed the Second Amendment. The justices upheld a federal ban on guns for people under domestic violence restraining orders.
It is a good moment, I think, for women in this country that the court said, hear Congress, the United States Congress's determination that people convicted of domestic violence can have their guns taken away without a full trial.
ABC's legal analyst Kim Whaley. A judge in Clark County, Nevada, has dismissed charges filed against alternate electors in the state. She says the county is not the appropriate jurisdiction for the case since the documents were filed and the signing ceremony took place in other parts of the state. State police in Arkansas say at least 14 people were shot, of whom three were killed at a grocery store in Fordyce. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is confirmed to be on the November ballot in Minnesota. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The security plan is in place for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next month. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle says the feds are working with local law enforcement to keep everyone safe.
This team has been preparing for the convention for over a year. They have been thoughtful about community impact, traffic concerns, businesses, and most importantly, ensuring a safe and secure convention for attendees and the city of Milwaukee.
Republicans prevailed in getting the protest zone moved out of Pear Marquette Park. The Dane County clerk is warning other local election officials about an email he calls an intimidation tactic. It tells clerks that sending out the newest absentee ballot envelopes might be election fraud. Scott McDonald tells the State Journal it's not true. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Schmidt Woodland Hills will host a dedication for the Louetta Livingston COVID Memorial Garden this Sunday at 2. This memorial garden was created in memory of Louetta Livingston and all of loved ones who were affected by the COVID-19 virus. Louetta was a dedicated caregiver at Schmidt Woodland Hills for over 16 years. Starting as a CNA in 2003, she became a licensed practical nurse in 2010 and went on to earn registered nurse's license in 2012. She became the director of nursing in 2018 and held that position until she retired in 2018. Forget-me-nots were Louetta's favorite flower, and through this memorial garden, her contributions to Schmidt Woodland Hills and the residents she helped care for will be renewed and remembered each spring. The dedication ceremony will be held under the portico Schmidt Woodland Hills at the Seminary Street entrance. Refreshments and social time will follow. In the event of rain, the program will be held in the second floor activity room. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks getting ready for the draft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA draft is coming up next week. Bucks GM John Horst has the 23rd and 33rd picks overall, which he may flip in a trade deal. The Los Angeles Lakers have hired ESPN's J.J. Redick as their new head coach. The 39-year-old Redick played 15 years in the NBA with six different teams, including the Milwaukee Bucks, but never the Lakers. The only time Redick has ever coached was for his son's youth basketball team. Baseball. The Brewers losing to the Padres last night, 7-6. Starting pitcher Bryce Wilson got off to a bad start, giving up four runs in the first. Pat Murphy.
I wasn't super pleased with how he threw the ball. Five runs and 15 outs is not what we're looking for here.
The Brewers debuting another rookie reliever, 23-year-old Bradley Blaylock, in the eighth.
I guess walking out of the bullpen, kind of just glanced up and looked at everyone, took it all in for a second. But then once I started that jog in, I was locked in and ready to go get three outs.
As Brewers pitcher Bradley Blaylock was Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Warm and muggy today with highs climbing to the low 80s. Heavy rain and strong to severe storms will strike this afternoon into tomorrow, bringing soaking rainfall totals that could create flash flooding. A flood watch remains in effect through Saturday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
It is day 16 and week 4 of Joe Biden's Top 100. Our theme this week, healthcare. You're not going to want to miss a single episode.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happier happy hour, and it's getting better right now, Dom. We got a fine guest. He's joined live via stream. He is former U.S. attorney, still an attorney, still a friend of ours. He's James Santel, and he's also the host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday morning. So, Jim, thanks for making time for us on a Friday afternoon.
Hey, always a pleasure. All those things continuing in our lives, right?
Jim, let me ask you about the days of Donald Trump's life. Another trial, maybe never, Eileen Cannon. What the hell is going on in Palm Beach today? She's having a hearing to consider the dismissal. I mean, the guy got caught dead to rights with hundreds of classified documents, and she's considering a dismissal, and I read a headline, although she's suspicious of Trump's claims, she's also suspicious of the prosecutors. She's supposed to be a federal jurist. What do I not understand being a layperson here, Jim?
I think you've got it just right. I think you have attended the school of practical sense and common sense out there, Mike, no doubt about it. So, yes, she is entertaining three, count them three, not one, not two, but three, days of oral argument on these motions. She's got a lot of them pending in front of her. And again, defense counsel can do that. That's sort of their role to test the government's case. But you also have motions that are filed routinely that are frivolous. And a lot of these are in just that category. Today, she's determining something that has been settled back in, I think it was the Nixon administration, again, the Clinton administration, about special counsel, these situations where, again, a couple of different iterations, but Congress establishes a mechanism for the Attorney General to appoint someone who is somewhat apart from the Department of Justice. This has been settled. This is the sun rises in the east once again, and we're having at least today and perhaps part of Monday and into Tuesday also to decide whether or not that's true. She is entertaining everything as if all of these things are legitimate. I was thinking about this earlier today, knowing we'd talk about it. Again, defense counsel will do this routinely. I do not fault them at all. But what routinely judges will do then is say, I've also identified all numbers 5 through 23, all these other motions to dismiss. I've looked at them. They're interesting. They're all dismissed. They're all denied. And that's what should happen here. These are not real, these are not serious motions. They're not credible arguments are being made, but she is taking them on as if they are. And the impact is exactly what you just said, Mike, which is delay, delay, delay. And that can go on almost interminably if she continues to do this exactly as she is.
Now, Jim, if I may, given the fact that she's kind of a rookie judge, right? She just kind of got this thing. Granted, she was put in there by Trump, but I mean, given the importance of this case, could she just be dotting her I's and crossing her T's and making sure everything's on the up and up? So even if she, you know, leans towards Trump, history will not judge her for, you know, blowing past some perhaps arguments that could impact the case.
Sure. She is certainly creating at a minimum a record for history, but also a record in this case. And so if at some point all this goes up to the Court of Appeals, which it will, perhaps in 2026 or sometime beyond, she can say, yes, I looked at all this. Look, appeals court, I had days of hearings on these issues. And so you can't fault her for entertaining them. And yes, she does have to enter some orders resolving all of these borderline and downright frivolous motions. But the point is, you don't take hours and hours deciding that it is raining in Wisconsin today, or that these basic things are understood. Or at most, you give counsel, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell me what it is your basis is. And then there's no court of appeals in the land that will look at that and say, you did not properly resolve that. You didn't give it the time of day that it needed. They will affirm that on these ridiculous motions. And what we're having, nonetheless, is this situation where she is, again, as you said, maybe being an equal opportunity attacker. She doesn't like the defense necessarily, but also suggesting, she's asking, for example, Jack Smith's representative there, what's your connection to the attorney general? What's going on there? No business doing that whatsoever. That's inside the Department of Justice, just as she has no business asking inside the defense team, what kinds of conversations are you having? That is inappropriate. That also suggests to me that she is not just a rookie judge, but she's not taking advice from anybody who may be telling her, even whispering in her ear, Eileen, knock it off. Don't do this. This goes on, and we've got no trial date, no time soon.
James Intel, our fine guest, we listen to his counsel. Jim, Eileen Cannon, this judge that caught the Trump classified documents case, despite the fact, in the walk-up to this, she was slapped down by the 11th Circuit somewhat strenuously, as I understand the language. And above and beyond that, a few of her colleagues came to her, encouraged her to recuse, both because of her inexperience and also because of her seemingly clear partisanship in favor of the defendant. And they decided they were going to go public and tell the press, Jim. This is not the norm, is it?
It is not. It is not. And we know as a practical matter, there's nothing wrong with it. Federal judges talk to federal judges and magistrates all the time. We know that in scheduling some of these other trials, Judge Mershon was talking to Tanya Chutkan across the state and the federal system. Nothing wrong with that at all. The conversations are not only appropriate, but they can produce good things. Here, you've got this very reliable reporting. I've got a couple of judges who come to her and say, you know, Eileen, probably a best thing for you to recuse yourself. And you just hit on the most significant thing that she could have and should have done, which is she can still believe that somehow all the things she said, this elaborate mechanism that she put in place, including having a special master before this case was even charged, extraordinary. She excoriated for it by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. She could say, you know what? I still believe I was right. And I will stick with it. And for that reason, I don't want any appearance of impropriety. I'm going to leave this case to somebody else. That's what she should have done. Be a little bit dignified about, frankly, your incompetence early on. But nonetheless, go away and not handle this particular case. She has plainly rejected that. And again, it is a stunning thing that you also have reporting, presumably indirectly or perhaps somewhat directly, from these judges saying, yeah, we tried to sit down with her over coffee and have some conversation, and she's not listening, which again raises some other legitimate questions for the American public. Who is she listening to? If they're not listening to her colleagues, who else is she listening to, is saying, you know, have these multiple hearings days in end and entertain all of this and take your trial dates off the calendar and again, entertain seriously things that make no sense whatsoever as a way of extending this indefinitely.
Jim, we've pondered, could Cannon be removed from this case? Obviously, oral arguments, whether or not the special counsel is appropriate in this case. How do we flip this script and find out if this Trump-appointed jurist is the appropriate judge for this particular case, and then get her ass out of here, Jim, because we want to see the trial. We want to see the evidence laid out. All we know is what's been reported in the press. You know what? A lot of what had been reported in the press regarding the New York, the hush money trial, I was surprised when the actual details came out at trial. Let's call it the evidence, Jim. How do we get to there?
That's that. We got to get there, right? And it's no time soon, but we got to get there. The longer this takes, it's the old phrase, justice delayed, justice denied for the American public. And frankly, even for Donald Trump, he's got a right to a speedy trial, as do the people of the nation. And so what are the remedies? Jack Smith has been, I'm sure they have conversations like this, probably every 36 hours inside the Department of Justice. Is now the time that we go to the 11th Circuit? Is now the time we go to the chief judge? He has plainly signaled, including the, remember this jury instruction thing where she's asking them to put together jury instructions that would support a defense for Donald Trump based upon the Records Act that has no basis for it, wildly premature, all that, prompts you to think again, what is going on here? He definitely is pondering doing something like going to the 11th Circuit and again, filing with him a petition to have her removed from this. That is atypical. I don't want to say it's unknown, but it is extraordinary. He doesn't want to do it until he's got all of his list of eggs, if you will, all of them in order. He may be closing in on that. And as this goes on, he may find the time is getting short, if you will, even in the midst of this, to do that. I still wouldn't be, that certainly was within his capacity to go to a higher judge and make this petition. It's a big deal because plainly, if you don't get it granted, now you're back in front of the judge who you wanted to throw off the case. On the other hand, they're not getting along anyway. She is making shot nets at them. And this is not a happy situation inside the courtroom. Happy, of course, in very large air quotes there. So maybe there's not a great downside to this, but he's got to be thinking about it every single time this happens, including right now over the weekend when this continues to go on in her courtroom in Fort Pierce.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, host of Amicus, playing out 9 to 11 Central Time on the Civic Media Network. Jim, so the Supreme Court laying down some cases. There was an 8-1 case today regarding guns and domestic abusers that Clarence Thomas was seemingly on the wrong side of. But I want to get to the other one we're waiting on that pertains to Donald Trump, the case of whether or not the former president has absolute immunity. We haven't gotten it yet. Are we running out of time? Is it perhaps next Thursday, Friday? What's your sense on when that's going to drop? And do you have a sense of what it might come down as?
Sure. A couple of things. Timing is getting short. We've got about 15 more cases, again, for the Supreme Court to decide. They're big ticket items. Those two are very big. We talk about the immunity cases being at the top of the list. This other Fisher case having to do the statutory predicate for the criminal charges against him, also very important. That will dictate what happens in that case in front of Tanya Chutkan. That's the election interference case in D.C. So they've been hanging on to this. We know two things. The oral argument surprised the heck out of everyone, I think, even people who are supporters of Donald Trump, when the Supreme Court decided to take very seriously these arguments that maybe, just maybe, there's a classification, a set of things that our chief executive can do that are crimes and for which there can be no impunity. That's extraordinary. And so they're still wrestling with that. My guess is, my answer to your question is, sometime at the very end of its present term, maybe next Friday, they will probably issue this opinion. Maybe it will go right before the 4th of July. I'm guessing it'll be among the very last cases they issue before they head off to the beach.
Talking about time and being short on it, Jim, stick around. More Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
For the Love of Democracy Tour, sponsored by Chance Design Build, announces the greatest political party ever. Join the Devil's Advocates at the Barrymore Theater, Madison, Thursday, June 27th, for a pre-presidential debate panel discussion featuring attorney Maggie Dawn and the Devil's Advocates at 7 p.m. Biden versus Trump, the most important presidential debate of your lifetime, to follow at 8 p.m. Admission is free. You're welcome. But bring cash for the bar and donations will be accepted at the door.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from herbalaspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometown.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News from the center, WRCE.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our friend James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time here on the Civic Media Network, sticking around for at least one more segment. Thank you for doing so, Jim. I want to get your opinion, counselor. I've had this conversation, and I'm looking for some guidance on how to phrase it and come back with it. The contempt of Congress charges, right? We had Navarro, who's currently in jail. We got Steve Bannon, who's supposed to report to jail. He's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and try to get out of that one by, what, July 1st? We'll see what happens there. Those were for 4 months for not complying with, you know, congressional subpoenas. But we also have, you know, what, Merrick Garland now, the Department of Justice. He was apparently in contempt of Congress for not providing the recording, the actual audio of this investigation of the president on the documents case, although they did provide the transcripts, executive privilege and so forth. How and why should Navarro and Bannon be prosecuted and put in jail for that contempt? And in this case, we got a guy like Merrick Garland, and hell, even Eric Holder back in the day also defied a subpoena regarding the gun smuggling and Fast and Furious case, something along those lines. Why is one different than the other? What's your comment on that?
Sure. And so they are all in the category of contempt, right? It's failing to comply. It's failing to do what the order, the directive says. It goes fundamentally to the notion that prosecutors still have the requirement. We all expect them to exercise their discretion in making that decision. Simply because a political branch, in this case, the Congress, makes a determination they don't like what the Attorney General is doing or what another agency head is doing, another member of the cabinet is doing. They can make that political finding. There's a related, but a different assessment that's undertaken by the people at Ninth and Constitution, which is where the Justice Department is, about whether or not that political finding is also criminal in nature. And you have to have, obviously, intent. You've got to have purpose. And here, the raising of the executive privilege by the White House has a whole lot more strength to it than it did when it was bandied about by Steve Bannon and by Peter Navarro. In those cases, again, they simply didn't comply at all. They didn't show up at all. Remember, too, that there were other people who were also referred by the Congress, including Mark Meadows and other people, for contempt of Congress as well, for the committee, the House committee. And the United States Department of Justice has said, you know what? We're not going to prosecute those. We just don't think they're sufficiently strong as criminal cases because there has been some compliance. Here, as you just accurately indicated, Dom, what you have is an attorney general who said, you know what? Already doing something probably isn't necessary, but I'm producing the entire transcript. Every last guffaw, every last chuckle of everybody during the course of this transcript. you can interview, you will see that in the transcript. And that's as far as we're going to go. Now, it's not a matter of Merrick Garland saying, just go take a flying leap. I will not comply at all. He has complied with the spirit and the tenor, I would argue, the content of that order. And in a strange twist of fate, you talk about Eric Holder. I was there when this happened. He's found in contempt. One of the ways in which our system works is the people who determine whether or not there will be a prosecution are the people in, let's all say it together, the Department of Justice. So it's the very people, if you will, who are in that building who make that determination. Many people may look at that and raise their eyebrows and say, gee, how can that happen? You know, it's because once again, we're living these extraordinary times when we've got these political findings that have no support in the law. And you have to have somebody somewhere independent of the attorney general, the attorneys general here to make those calls. That's what's going on. And that's a lot of words, but there is a distinction here. And again, especially when the prosecutors can look at this and say, you know what, you're not getting anything more by the tape than you would by the transcript. We all know what this is about. This is to try to find those times when, in fact, the president during this interview was having difficulty finding the words or otherwise was not the paradigm of clarity. That's what this is all about. That's not a justice-based purpose for getting it. That's a political purpose, and that's the difference.
Jim Santel, your former boss, Eric Holder, the former attorney general under Obama, came out this week and is quite concerned that the U.S. Supreme Court, and I know you touched on this, but the U.S. Supreme Court could extend some sort of immunity to presidents, be it limited immunity for official acts or whatever the case may be. We don't know what the ruling's going to be. But I have a couple of questions. A, they've already voted on all of these rulings at this late hour, have they not, Jim? So there might be some clerks putting the final details, but all these rulings are effectively either drafted or in final details. Are they not, Jim? Do I have that part wrong?
Absolutely right. There may be some late nights and maybe some clerks running up and down the hallways saying, my boss wants this word changed. We're crossing this out. Take out your Sharpie. We're getting rid of this paragraph. There may be some changes in consents and concurrences or dissents and concurrences, but you're right. They voted and we're so close. Now we're refining this for final publication probably next week.
Okay. The fact that they've taken so long, I mean, my understanding, what the Whitewater tapes perhaps it was the Watergate tapes, took 16 days for the U.S. Supreme Court to rule. We've been going on 2 months. They didn't drop it on the last Friday here, meaning today. So maybe they go next week or hell, maybe they drag it into July. But every day they delay is really to the advantage of the defendant, Donald Trump. So I guess my question is it possible, and I thought we had discussed this once prior, Jim, is it possible by sending it back to the district court and saying, you know what, now you've got to litigate, now you've got to decide each and every case, whether or not it's an official act or a private act, could they not effectively, through their ruling, throw more sand in the gears?
Absolutely. You know, it'd be one thing for them simply to say, yes, the president is immune. That's clarity. Then the case is over, right? There is definitive. That's absolutely absurd. As a constitutional matter, that does bring the republic closer to its end, but they could do that. My guess is exactly what you just described, based upon the oral argument. You even got Amy Coney Barrett saying, well, let's send this back. John Roberts also saying maybe the lower court wasn't all that explicit here. My guess is they're going to put together some middling order that does direct the Tanya Chutkan, go back and apparently go through the evidence itself. There are only four counts here and figure out which are personal, which are official. And then she's going to make some decisions about that. That's going to take months as more oral argument. That can go back up to the Court of Appeals. That could go back up to the Supreme Court. Absolutely. It's a way of extending this, not just beyond the end of the year, maybe well into next year and beyond. That's entirely possible. And that's what we may be talking about in about a week from now.
Jim, thanks for wrecking my weekend, man. Always leave them wanting more. If you want the rest of the story, tune in. Amicus, a law review. Tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Network with our good friend, James Santel. Jim, have a great weekend. I'll try to catch the show in the morning.
Thank you, Jim.
Good to be with you, gentlemen. Have a good weekend.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two people are dead after four vehicles crashed between Horicon and West Bend Wednesday. Dodge County Sheriff's investigators say a 17-year-old driver crossed the center line on Highway 33 and struck a pickup truck, which caused a chain reaction. An 84-year-old man and a 79-year-old woman were pronounced dead at the scene. 130,000 people are expected to be living with Alzheimer's in Wisconsin next year. Abby Meisner is with the Alzheimer's Association. She says 40% of cases are linked to risk factors people can control.
Things like having too high of blood pressure or not enough physical activity, lack of exercise, things like that, getting good sleep, all of those things are so important.
New research shows changes can happen in the brain at least 20 years before a person is diagnosed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
I'm Joanne Krulatz. Gunderson-Boscobel Area Hospital and Clinics has teamed up with Fenimore Area Health Services and Fenimore EMS to offer a free CPR AED non-certified training session Wednesday night, June 26, from 5 to 8 at the Fenimore Fire Department for 3 one-hour sessions. Each hour-long training will provide the basic skills needed to effectively assess and maintain life from the critical minutes immediately following an emergency until professional medical help arrives. Each session will cover steps following a 911 call, chest compressions, AED usage, steps to following an emergency, and the Heimlich maneuver. This class is not a certification class and is designed for anyone. Class size is limited, so register as soon as possible by contacting Community Wellness Coordinator Cameron Novi at 608-376-6116 or CENNOVY at GundersonHealth.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are teaming up again for a new crime thriller called R.I.P. The duo's company, Artists Equity, will produce the film. The project is in the early stages, and plot details are being kept on the down low. Artists Equity's first film was Air, which debuted in 2022. Both Affleck and Damon were part of the cast, with Damon as the main character. If you don't include the true star, a shoe. Justin Timberlake was released from police custody in the Hamptons following a drunk driving charge. The incident happened after Timberlake left a party at a friend's house and was pulled over by police. Timberlake was reportedly booked early Tuesday and kept overnight before being released without bail. Police said Timberlake failed to stop, was swerving and slurring his words, basically failing every aspect of the sobriety test. Timberlake says he only had one martini at a time. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Warm and muggy today with highs climbing to the low 80s. Heavy rain and strong to severe storms will strike this afternoon into tomorrow, bringing soaking rainfall totals that could create flash flooding. A flood watch remains in effect through Saturday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella DeVan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap the consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, a happier, happy hour indeed, rolling through it. Thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Catch his fine program, Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Check your local listings on the Civic Media Network. But, you know, one thing, there's never enough time, but we have trapped you people in your cars before. We know whenever we keep Jim late, then you get home and you sit in your driveway and you wait for Jim to finish, which, you know, we like, but it's hardly fair to those waiting on the fish fry. So tune in tomorrow for Jim. But one of the questions I'd like to have gotten to, Dom, July 11th is like 2 weeks from today. Am I wrong about that? A couple of Fridays from now?
Yesterday. July 11th is a Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
So three weeks out.
In 3 weeks, Donald Trump has sentencing in the hush money trial in New York. And the way they are acting, it's just like a ceremony of title. Convicted felon. Hell, he's fundraising off and had the best fundraising year month ever, yeah. Right? $141 million he raised.
Beating Biden by, what, $40 million, $50 million? Like big money.
Very, very happy about the fundraising. And the convicted felon, you know, so what, right? Just title. No, it's a legal consequence. And the sentencing is coming down the pike here in 3 weeks, Dom. And of course, it could affect the political outcome of the RNC. They've already got alternative plans. You know, I don't think Trump's going to be down on Brady Street with us partying, man. He may not make it to Milwaukee. He could be under lock and key. You know, I wanted to ask Jim what his opinion was. And, you know, we're all just spouting opinions at this point, Dom. But do you think once there is a sentence that this has more gravity for the man? Now, we know the Fox News polling says that Joe Biden is eking up best polling Joe's had against Trump head-to-head since October of last year. So something is changing about the electorate. Contrary to what Jesse Waters says, the electorate is not locked in by June. It's moving. It's changing. It's a shifting electorate, at least the snapshots through the polling, Dom. But what happens once the man gets a year and a day or 3 years like Michael Cohen got or 90 days? But ultimately, there is a consequence. Well, that would be far too little. I think that would be far too little relative to the gravity of the alleged crimes.
He could very well get no jail time, of course, Kurt. I mean, given the circumstances, he may.
That does not feel appropriate to me.
No, I get it.
No, you know, the guy has shown no remorse, right?
No remorse.
Hasn't acknowledged the crimes. In fact, claims they're not crimes. My understanding is Alvin Bragg has asked for the extension of the gag order due to the many, many death threats he's getting.
So many.
So why wouldn't Juan Merchan throw the book at this guy at sentencing? Why wouldn't he? The only reason not to do it, if it was any other criminal defendant, not Donald Trump, you know he would throw the book. This guy'd be getting years, not at Club Fed, but at a real prison. Not that Club Fed's not a real prison, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe not Supermax, but he's going to prison. But this guy, you know, you're acting like 2 weeks house arrest, or I'm not saying you. I'm saying that is a presumption that's fair to have. They're not going to throw the book at this first offender, former president candidate. Because right. A couple years in prison, that certainly changes the outcome of the election, right? But so what, man?
So what? Exactly. It's absolutely irrelevant what the guy's day job is. You know what I'm saying? That's my position. And I would hope that the judge, in any case, be it any candidate or teacher or firefighter or radio host, whatever the case is, that they're all judged equally under the law as it applies to them. And if it were anybody else, he's already gotten the slack. You know, I mean, 10 times violation of the gag order. Who would not be, you know, cooling their heels off for at least an afternoon in the judge's pen if we're not for a guy like Donald Trump? So if that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's already been given. the slack, the benefit has already been derived. Sentencing's not that part. You did it, you did it, you get it, you go.
Don't yada 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 the sentence. The sentence is the most important part.
Of course.
And I'm asking not just you, Dom, but also the audience. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. You can join us on the party line. But the question, does it change the impact? Because this title, this 34-time convicted felon, I like saying it lots and lots of times over and over again, as many times as he has been convicted, I like repeating it. But I went out there to the Racine where there were, you know, 8, 10,000 people at the Festival Park on Tuesday, out by the lakeshore, out to see their man, Donald Trump. And almost universally, they called it a sham. The trial's a sham. And they didn't really think it was any big deal, right? The Trump supportive. Understand.
I'm voting for a felon. They're proud of it.
Yes. Yes. I actually, and I did not post video of these people. I've got a photo and some video. I interviewed them. A couple, one wearing a red version and one wearing a blue version. And, you know, having your appropriate Trump wear on at the Trump rally, that's an important thing. People really dress the occasion. You know, if you don't have Trump on your ass, on your shirt, on your hat, on your whatever, you're not trying. But these people were red and blue matching, I'll vote for the felon 2024 Trump shirts. They were proud to vote for the felon. But here's my question. Does the actual sentencing make it sink in to a greater degree? Because even right now, I mean, 34-time convicted felon. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Really about my perception of Donald Trump. I always knew he was criming. He's been convicted. I was a little surprised at the speed of the jury conviction. I was a little nervous about the Cohen testimony. But ultimately, when the conviction came, even from my liberal perspective, I can't say my perception of the man has significantly changed just because he's got a title behind his name. Could be 34-time appearing on The Apprentice. But once he has a sentence, I think that changes things. What do you think? What do you think, Dom? What do you think, audience? 844-967-2789. Dom, I'm going to go to the audience first. My grievance is there hadn't been enough pain inflicted from these convictions.
There's no consequence to speak of yet.
Yet. It's not even like it's negative. You know, if I was 34 times convicted of a felony, best case scenario, I'm sleeping in the garage.
Best case.
Best case scenario. Doesn't seemingly affect this man. One iota, still living the life of Riley. Susan from the town of Dunn. Welcome, Susan. What do you got for us?
Hello, Susan.
Well, I was just thinking, hi, guys. I've been thinking about this a lot myself, about what would be the appropriate kind of ramifications prison-wise for him. With 34 days work, like one day for each of the counts, that would be a little more than a month, but it wouldn't be two, you know, it wouldn't be 60 days. It would be, I don't know, I was just thinking about that.
It'd be the worst month of his life, I guarantee, but I almost think a sentence of that short length undermines the gravity of the crime. If it was worth the trial, if it was worth all the rigmarole, and he's convicted by a jury of his peers, what would be the common sentence for the common criminal who committed the same crime? I think it'd be more than, you know, a slap on the wrist in 34 days at Mar-a-Lago or maybe Rikers.
Well, I think he should be at Rikers for 34 days, actually. At least 30 days, if not longer. That's my feeling. But or maybe for the rest of his life, whichever comes first. I don't know.
Whichever comes first.
Maybe on the other criming, Susan, we'll have to wait and see on that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
He does deserve to spend the rest of his life in prison. Probably not for the convictions in New York. But Michael Cohen got 3 years for the same criming that Trump is alleged to have committed. And Cohen committed the crime for Trump, right? He was the fixer. He was the lawyer.
It's almost like there's a little bit of precedent already there based on previous sentencing on the very same topic.
And even despite the fact there was, you know, a there were people being let out of prison compassionately because of the COVID pandemic, and Michael Cohen was one of them. He didn't serve his full sentence, but he still did like 18 months.
But they also drug his ass back in there again. I mean, didn't literally Barr go get his ass and drag him back in again? He was in, he was out, he was back in again, then out again, if I recall how it went down.
They also tried to stifle his ability to write a book. Like if he published a book, then he had to serve his full sentence. That was my understanding. Talking about chilling prior restraint. 844-967-2789. Cam from Appletown. Welcome back, you little scammer.
Hey, welcome, Cam, if that's your real name.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. My parents almost named me Ferris, too. I'm not even kidding. Right. So I wanted to test out Gary's hypothesis about calling Eric Hovde, right?
Yes.
But I don't want to call Eric Hovde because I don't really want to talk to him. Because if I have to hear his mustache move against the microphone in any capacity, I think I might lose it. So instead, I decided to call Gary. I took 3 minutes, 27 seconds of searching Gary and HVAC, Wisconsin. And it came up with his business. I called. It had a whiny voice. It was Gary. But that was only his voicemail. It was 4:55. They closed at 5. And he didn't answer the phone. He didn't answer the damn phone. Can you believe that?
You mean there was a number out there and he wasn't there?
Yeah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there at all. It wasn't time for closing yet. Gary, if you're still listening, where were you? Were you listening to the greatest radio show in the world? Or were you working where you're supposed to be?
You know, we've seen Gary work, literally, Cam. We were in the studios on Brady Street some 5-6 years ago, and Gary had a service and HVAC on the neighboring roof, but we could visually see Gary on the ladder climbing, and it was late in the afternoon. I mean, we've always kind of had this, you know, afternoon drive schedule, but I did a play-by-play on Gary, and I got to tell you, I don't know for sure, Cam, but I got to think some of the audience was rooting against him.
Climbing up a ladder. He was up high, Cam.
It was like he was climbing from a second to a third story on a ladder. So he works.
He's doing more than I can.
Yeah, he's a hardworking man, Cam. And I know you don't want to be corrected, but I'm going to correct you. It's not the greatest radio show in the world. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Anyway. Why limit it to one planet, Cam?
This is what I'm saying. And why limit it to just this time frame?
You know, I was on a ladder earlier today. I felt like Gary a little bit. I'm not a conservative love muffin, but, you know, I was out there doing a little work, yeah, like know, the work in stiff stew.
You're not the most coordinated guy, man. You know, I'd be a little careful about you on a ladder.
Yeah, you know what was the craziest part? Is like once you plant that ladder, man, I'm like a fireman. I'm just climbing that ladder. And one of the earliest times, because I didn't know why, but I've got some early drain blockage, so I went and cleared it. But like the second time I go up the ladder today, starts tipping over to the left. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I just lean to the right and start climbing on the right, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like I'm going to continue climbing this ladder that's starting to tip. You know, well, if I just put enough pressure on the other side.
Just adjust, yeah, man.
But that's what one does on a ladder when it gets a little tippy, right? You just you shift your weight because, you know, nothing like Crudy, svelte, 6'3", 245 pounds on the top.
45.
Like two steps over the do not step above this line on the top of the ladder there. You know, balancing to the right to keep the ladder from tilting. If Gary was doing a play-by-play on me, you know he would have been cheering against. I hope you have a great weekend, Gary. I hope you already got some fish in your belly. Probably no beer, maybe some milk. 2%. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Final grievances of the week. Better lay them on us now. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Small business owners, we know tackling your to-do list can sometimes feel like going 12 rounds against a heavyweight champ. except that heavyweight's gloves are made of something hard, like diamonds. So when a new to-do pops up, you're like, I can't. I'm boxing my diamond boxing glove-wearing heavyweight champ of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy with over 30 customizable coverage options, so you can finally land a knockout blow. See if you can save on business insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
For the Love of Democracy Tour, sponsored by Chance Design Build, announces the greatest political party ever. Join the Devil's Advocates at the Barrymore Theater, Madison, Thursday, June 27th, for a pre-presidential debate panel discussion featuring attorney Maggie Dawn and the Devil's Advocates at 7 p.m. Biden versus Trump, the most important presidential debate of your lifetime, to follow at 8 p.m. Admission is free, you're welcome, but bring cash for the bar and donations will be accepted at the door.
News from the Center, WRCE.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day of Friday. You got to air some grievances. You got something to say. You better do it right now on the lines. Talk or text. Hit us up. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, if it's Wisconsin, it's the weekend. Somewhere Van Halen's playing, man. We know this. We have learned this. Dom, I've been checking the text line. Some love for our pal James Santel. Jim is the best hire in radio history since one Dominic Salvia.
Thank you.
Yes, Jim was an excellent hire, but he doesn't work for me, just for the record. We just befriend these people and someone else pays them. Another one, Devil's Advocate Show. You guys should start referring to Trump as Felon 45.
Ooh, that's easier. Felon 45.
Here's another one. Jim up in Appletown texting in on WGBW. For something closer to apples to apples, what kind of sentence did Martha Stewart get? Similar crime, similarly famous at the time. Martha Stewart would say, you take that back. 844-967-2789. Ellen from Cedarburg. Welcome, Ellen.
Oh, hi. This is my first time calling, and so I'm a little nervous. I've just started listening to you recently, and I just love this station. So I have a grievance. Well, besides being having to leave Milwaukee and move to Cedarburg because we couldn't afford to live in Milwaukee anymore, that was my first grievance. But my grievance right now is that it's Strawberry Festival up here in Cedarburg, and some kind of special unit of the police has put a huge long ladder out on our porch going up to the roof. And I saw a guy going up there with a very long package. And I just asked him kind of nicely, well, what are you guys doing? And it turns out that the packages were sharpshooter rifles. And they're going up on the roof. There's two of them on the corners. And what they answered me about what they're doing is that they're helping find lost children. Oh. And I, yes, also.
And they were and police or private right citizens, garden. Ellen?
No, they're police of some sort. I don't know exactly where they're from. But, yeah. Oh, God, I never thought they might be private citizens. No. But anyway, it's just kind of scary knowing that there's people up there, sharpshooters, in a crowd of expected 100,000. Anyway.
That's a big strawberry festival. Ellen, that's a big strawberry festival.
Oh, it's huge.
You could under...
The total number, it's...
You could understand the desire to control the high ground. I mean, I've been to lots of big events. I think I've talked on the radio recently, Ellen, about a Donald Trump rally I went to in Des Moines, Iowa. There was like 40,000 people there. There were a lot of snipers on the roof that day. And that, of course, was because there was a big, barely controlled crowd. And if you got 100,000 people, you know, I'm this is the world we live in. Unfortunately, that makes a big soft target.
Maybe that's my grievance, is this is the world we live in. maybe it's a larger grievance.
Ellen,
I just thought I would call just for fun.
That's great that you did. Ellen, you want to know what my second favorite fruit is? Strawberries. And if we happen to be...
First?
Oh, cherries.
Not even
Door County cherries, Ellen. I'm a cherry guy, but strawberries are number two in my heart.
Right up there.
If you
they're wonderful.
Could you send us some strawberries, Ellen?
Oh sure, absolutely.
I mean, if there's enough strawberries in Cedarburg to feed 100,000, you know, you could ship a couple down for Diamond Crew.
A couple might fall off the truck, Ellen. You know where we're at.
Thank you for hearing me.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for calling and playing along, Ellen. Love the Strawberry Festival up in Cedarburg. Cedarburg, cute, nice little area.
And thank you in advance for the future shipment of strawberries.
Can't wait. Fresh strawberries. We got the farmer's market here at South Shore that we go to, and stuff was there last weekend. First weekend, every Saturday. You know how it is. Those fresh strawberries, you can't buy them in the store like that. That tastes like real awesome, like right off the vine, strawberries, man. It is phenomenal.
The only thing better, cherries.
Really? Even like that? Now, do you eat cherries without the cherry pie? Like, I'll eat strawberries. I put them in my spinach, my green protein shake in the morning, you know, but I eat cherries, but I eat more like in a cherry pie. I mean, do you eat just regular cherries out of the container?
Cherry pie, cherry ice cream, cherry shakes.
No, you don't.
Actually, I will tell you what I actually do. I'll buy a big bag of sweet cherries or dark cherries. I like them both ways. And I will eat them by the bag full. Like, I'll grab handfuls and I'll just rinse them off in my hand. I don't even bother using the strainer. Yep. I'll just stand above the trash can, eat and spit pits. And here's why, Dom. Because one time I was a kid and I helped make a cherry pie. And somehow someone... forgot to tell us a crucial step. Pit your cherries.
Very important. You want to keep your teeth. Pit your cherries.
That's why I have very short, chiseled teeth. Cherry pits. Thank you all for listening. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to our fine guest, James Santel. You know what we should have ended with? Although Van Halen, always appropriate on a Wisconsin weekend.
Always up in Wisconsin, yep.
Warren, she's my cherry pie. Next time, Rich. Have a great weekend, dude. Thanks for what you do. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you back on the radio Monday.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Natalie Yar from the Capital Times joins me to discuss film incentives in Wisconsin. And as always, Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares some great new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.